So, could you introduce yourself briefly?
My name's Peter Brill. I was the news editor at University Radio York in 1982-83 while I was here doing a politics degree. And during that time, I spent most of my time, I have to say, in the URY studios and some of the time as advertising editor at Noose. So I came here determined to do journalism and ended up in a career in journalism and public relations. So University Radio York was where it all started.
Mm-hmm. So where did you go kind of straight after URY? Because I think a lot of people currently who are wanting to get into the industry, the always difficult thing is the very first step they make.
Yeah, and I think that much of it came from doing stuff here. So I'm sitting here looking at a plaque for, I can't quite believe this, the Guardian Student Journalists Awards from 1981, Best Campus Radio Programme, which is quite extraordinary. And actually, that was an award that I won because I blagged my way into Stansted Airport, where an aircraft had been hijacked and landed. And I thought, well, I live close by. I'd read it, and I just went and blagged my way in. And that became a documentary and won the award. And that took me to City University on the back of that to the media school there. And I did a radio diploma, which was an incredible opportunity because City itself is a fantastic media school. Again, you're in the heart of everything. We had some amazing stories. I remember interviewing Arthur Scargill during the miners' strike. I mean, we just were in the heart of it. And that was a fantastic opportunity to learn hard news journalism, to learn radio skills. I have to say it was back in the day when we had steam-powered typewriters, so we didn't have any of the wonderful stuff that you see here now. But we had access to a radio studio, which was brilliant. And that took me into a slightly strange route into journalism. I ended up working for British Telecom, which sounds a bit weird. But back in those days, they had premium charged telephone lines where they were developing things around financial news and other things. So I started working as a financial journalist, just doing interviews and reading the share price and whatever. And then people paid a premium for that to listen to it on the phone. This is before that thing called the internet and all of that. So it was quite a long time ago. And then we realized that there was a real opportunity in sport. And so we developed what became Club Call, which was telephone lines for all the football clubs in the then Football League, which was fantastic. So I became a football journalist and a sport journalist. My passion was motorsport, particularly rallying, actually, which came from living in town here in York and being woken up one morning by two world champion rally cars coming past my window on the way to the RAC rally. And I went, what's that? And that kind of started me down that route. So I did football, I did rallying, I did motorsport. And I from there, I went into working for Toyota. So I was a poacher turned gamekeeper. I went into public relations, worked for Toyota Motorsport, and then went into agency. And by the time I had my last corporate job, I was head of public relations at RAC, at RAC Motoring Services. So it all came from here, from New York. So it's about persistence. It's about being curious. It's about asking questions, about getting yourself out there and not being afraid. Just if you see something, record it.
Yes.
You know, and just having that passion for asking questions, and that's where it gets you.
Wow. I think it's really interesting hearing all the sort of the different routes you can go down. And people always talk now about, you know, you not having one career for life anymore, but the kind of they're going in so many different opportunities and so many different things. Is there something that you would have liked to go into instead? Or is that always where you wanted to go towards?
I always wanted to be a doctor, and that I was never quite bright enough. So that kind of disappeared very early on. I just, academically, I wasn't good enough. But in fact, it was school. My last year in school, we had a talk from a BBC journalist who came and did, you know, we had sixth form talks, and he came and gave a talk about working in the Beeb and being a journalist in the Beeb. And I listened to him and I just thought, I want a piece of that. I really want to do that. And I think I was probably the only kid who went racing after him afterwards and said, how do I do this? And he invited me to the Beeb, and we got talking, and that's what fired me up. So really, from the age of 16, 17, it's what I wanted to do. And I was very lucky to be able to pursue it. But again, it's a very different world now, with social media, with digital, with multimedia, with different channels, with all of those sort of things. And I think it's still challenging. In some ways, talking to yourself, talking to other, to the news editor, Antonia, in some ways it's harder now because there are fewer outlets, there are fewer channels to get involved with. There's obviously a lot of competition from people doing media degrees. And if I sound slightly cynical or skeptical, I think it's because doing a media degree doesn't give you the experience. What you're doing here, sitting, driving a news program, sitting, interviewing people, that's really where the journalism comes from. You can teach some of it. You can teach the theory, but actually you can't teach the curiosity. You can't teach that innate journalism. And I think that if you really want to get into it, get out there, demonstrate that you're doing it, demonstrate that you're doing interviews, demonstrate who you're talking to, who you're connected with, build networks, and it'll come.
Mm. You talked a bit there about the differences of kind of media now and sort of technologically. Do you think there's a cultural difference as well from the 80s now? We talk about media now, it's sort of hyper online, always constant. You have news in your pocket all of the time. There's a journalist everywhere because they've got a phone out. Is that a big real difference from kind of how it was? Is there something that you've noticed as being a big difference?
That's a very good question. And I think that, yes, the whole citizen journalist thing has really transformed. As you say, you've got a camera in your pocket. You've got, a radio mic in your pocket. But I think that in many ways, it's made the need for professional journalism even greater. People, I think, they're less likely to want to read long form, and that in itself is a challenge. They, for some degree, are less trusting of mainstream media because they see it as institutional. They see it as being, pushing an agenda, which, to some degree, some media channels, some newspapers do. I mean, you know what their agenda will be. But I still believe that the filter of professional journalism is vital. And the number of debates I still have about the BBC's biased, we don't read mainstream, we're trusting of what goes on social media. Well, the reality is, if you put news through the filter of a professional journalist and they are properly trained and they are someone who can critically read and critically understand the sources of where that information is coming from and challenge it and question it and dig and find where that news actually is and report it with balance. And it's hard. It's very hard to do. I think that there is always going to be a need for, and you're always going to have a better outcome from a professional journalist and someone who's gone through those filters than, trusting. I sound like an old fogey because to some degree I am, but, trusting influencers.
Yes.
Who, yes, they're influencers, but actually they don't necessarily see things from a multitude of perspectives, and they certainly wouldn't necessarily report things from a multitude of perspectives.
Yeah, I think that's a really reassuring message, kind of in today's, when there are so many people who are thinking about news, care about the news, love the news, but see so many young people who don't and aren't listening and are just looking at whatever comes up on Instagram. You know, you speak to young people, how do you get your news? It's Instagram, it's TikTok. Mm. I think it's really reassuring to young people who want to do that to be like, actually, no, there is value in what people are working towards,
yeah,
in what people want, even when it's at a kind of hyper-local level. I think that's you talked about briefly kind of the training ground for journalists and getting that. A lot of people, especially doing university student media, they'll be looking at like SU elections and local campus press. We've had all sorts here about Long Boy and the saga of a bronze statue.
Yeah.
That kind of local journalism. Do you think that still has value in training journalists, or should people be heading more towards covering national stories? Because I think there's a tendency for people to go, I need to look at the big stuff because no one really cares locally. Do you think it's still worth looking at?
It absolutely is. I mean, who would know that the story of a duck would become a story? But news is about human interest. It's about people. It's about telling stories. I mean, that's what journalists do. They tell stories. And actually, looking at international news, looking at the big stuff, as you say, what matters is the impact of the big stuff on here, on what's going on locally. So if you look at geopolitics, you look at whatever it might be, you know, international relations, all the sort of political stuff that's going on at the moment, where the real news is not to some degree what's happening 2,000 miles away. It's the impact of that on what's happening on campus or what's happening in York or whatever it might be. And that's where the story lies. What does it mean for me? What's in it for me? Why am I affected by it? And I think that having that, being able to distill that internationalism into something that's really relevant for your audience, in this case, you know, campus students, it's a hell of a job. But if you can do it and do it well and tell that story and people go, oh, that's what it means for me, that's why it's so important, that's the job of a good journalist. And if you can do it, you've got a career.
Brilliant. Now, I'm really conscious of not taking up too much of your time. Kind of one sort of final question. We've talked loads about sort of people, you know, budding journalists and other things. If you had sort of one tip to give to someone who's trying to get into the industry, journalism, radio, whatever that be, in kind of the wider media, what would you say to them?
One tip, blimey. as people know, I tend to do things in twos. I think I would say two things. One is, be curious. Don't just take things for granted. Dig. Be curious. Why is that important? What are they saying? Why are they saying that? Who's saying it? Let me go and talk to them. Let me go and have an interview. Let me go and find someone that can talk to me about it. So be curious, and also be persistent. If you really want a career in journalism, you've got to demonstrate to those mainstream, if you don't want to go mainstream, there's lots of news outlets, but you need to be able to demonstrate why you stand out from the thousands of other people who are doing media degrees or whatever that they're doing. And someone will look at you and go, they get it. That's a journalist, and that's why I want to employ them. So, yeah, show people why you want to do it and stick at it.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Peter.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Cheers.